Our meditation for this third Sunday in the Easter season is on our epistle reading. Hear the word of our Lord from 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in the 18th verse.
Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Now grace, mercy, and peace to you, from God our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Slavery was a fact of life in ancient Rome. To be a slave was to be considered less than human, less than an animal even. A slave had no rights, and a slave's master had no limitations. It was not until the 2nd century AD under Emperor Antoninus Pius that slave owners could be tried for homicide for killing their slaves. While slaves did not have the right to marry, it was not illegal for a master to sexually abuse his slaves, even to the point of violent, unspeakable acts to victims of all ages. It wasn't until the Roman emperors became Christians that Jews were barred from forcing their Christian slaves to be circumcised and observe Jewish religious practices. It is little wonder that the philosopher Cicero said, "To some extent, I liken slavery to death." Being property does horrible damage to the psyche, especially when being property means being forced to accept mistreatment. Scripture attests clearly that being free is better than being a slave, and a slave should take the opportunity to be free if it is presented to him, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 21. The entire book of Philemon is dedicated to the Apostle St. Paul urging Philemon to free his slave Onesimus. While the Bible does not demand abolition, for slavery was often the closest thing someone could get to social welfare provisions in a scarcity economy, it supports freedom as superior to it, and seeks to mitigate the ill effects of Roman-style chattel bondage. Slavery is not sinful by itself, but the Roman expression of it involved a downright abyssal amount of sin. So let us put ourselves in the shoes of a Roman slave who becomes a Christian. Let us say you are property, but nonetheless, by the grace of God, you have become a Christian. Your pastor has informed you that now that you are baptized, you are no longer less than a person. God has elevated you to being a beloved member of His Israel, a citizen in the kingdom of heaven. And you are even told that after a manner of speaking, you are a part of a great priesthood. Your spirit is lifted, your joy incomprehensible. You were taken out of the darkness and brought to the light that says you are loved by the man who went to a cross for you. You work harder at your labors because your pastor has taught you to love your neighbor with them like you are working for Christ himself. Then one Sunday, after you come back home from the Sunday morning service, rejoicing that you took communion and heard the word of God, your master decides to beat you. He gives no reason as he takes the cane in his hand and begins to give you stinging bruises. He mutters something about stupid Judean superstitions as he kicks you in the stomach. Then he breaks the cane over your body and you start to bleed, doubled over on the ground. Once he is finished, he tells you to get back to work. This is the fifth time you have been beaten without a cause, and every single time it happened on Sunday. What do you do? This pagan has just beaten a Christian, someone whom God has declared to be above him. Not only that, he has beaten you for no good reason. You did not deserve these bruises, nor these burst blisters from repeated caning. Yet here you are, wondering amidst your tears, what now? Shall you run away? Shall you take up arms against your master like the man Spartacus you heard of so long ago? Shall you scream in indignation at him? By a chance encounter, you see your pastor the next day and ask him. He has just received a copy of St. Peter's letter, and he shows you the very passage we have read. Then, as he helps tend to your wounds and has a deacon prepare some food for you, he says the following: Beloved, your pain brings you closer to Christ than I, and I admit this to my shame. Our Savior underwent far greater unjust pain than we ever shall. Yet with your endurance, continuing to serve your Master honorably, you become closer to him. Here, let us help you recover, that you may continue to be a living witness to your Master for the gospel. We might balk at this notion, the unfairness of it, the sheer injustice. Indeed, this is a horrible thing for anyone, especially a Christian, to have to go through. Yet God's word tells us that a sinful rebellion would be like the sin of witchcraft, making it a far worse tragedy. Either way, we are not to be surprised by this, as tragedy always results from human sin. We are to expect suffering in this life. As Dr. Luther says, they gave our master a crown of thorns. Why do we hope for a crown of roses? We often balk at messages like this because it appears to be advocating for doormat Christianity. You know, the distorted view of Christianity that says battered wives should stick with their abusive husbands instead of fleeing to the nearest shelter. The pathetic, limp-wristed vision of the faith that tells fathers they should permit home invaders to kill their children. You know the kind of caricature I'm talking about. St. Peter is not saying anything of the sort. Scripture permits self-defense, and it does not say that you must stay in a situation where your life is at risk. In fact, the apostle would not disagree with St. Paul's advice that slaves should take the opportunity to be freed if they can. He would advise slaves to disobey their masters if their masters commanded them to sin. Christianity is not a passive or feminine religion. To the contrary, always remember that because Christ has lifted you up, submission to any authority is a willing choice that you make, and it is one we make with good motivation. Since St. Peter says that our endurance is a gracious thing to God, We rejoice to make these decisions knowing that God rewards gracious things. He accounts it as merit, leading to rewards either in this life or in the next life, or both. Remember, beloved, that Christianity took over the entirety of the Roman Empire without having launched a single violent rebellion. Christ entrusted himself to he who judges justly, and he won a throne which is over all powers and authorities. The early church entrusted themselves to the very same Heavenly Father and won an empire. Our Heavenly Father judges justly, and that means he makes all things right, no matter what. Beloved, by enduring the cross for our sakes, our Lord Jesus won heaven for us and guaranteed all who believe in him eternal life. On account of that, he rewarded the humble endurance of the martyrs who came before us with a great victory over the oppressive Roman system. By Christ's stripes we are healed. And by the faith of our forefathers, we see victory in yesterday's horizon. So, too, are we broadly called to this. Though the persecutions are real, otherwise the Catacomb Synod would not exist, we understand that our Lord wills for us to be patient, wise, and enduring when the time calls for us to endure. We may flee when we can. We may protect ourselves when the time comes, and we may seek freedom when God grants us a righteous way to do it. But may we never forget that the bedrock of Christian response to persecution is endurance and love. By maintaining this, we gain favor from our Lord who sees us living in the imitation of Christ, and we see victory on tomorrow's horizon, just as Christ has promised ultimate victory upon his return. Now the peace of our Lord, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.